Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, March 31st. Yep, you heard that right. March 31st. And so glad you made the decision to tune into this great program tonight. A great decision to tune into the program tonight to learn something more about God, who is, in fact, our ever-present help in time of need. Ever-present. You know what that means? That means He doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't. Yeah, let me meet you part way, and then I'm going to leave you. Like, you do this 25% of the way, I'll go with you the other 50%, and then the other 25%, you're on your own. He stays right there with you. And he's your leader. He can be your guide to be a Christian. It's such a great thing to be able to know that God is on your side, that God is on your side, fighting for you, pushing back all darkness. And He's lighting up this kingdom, the kingdom of God, lighting up the kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken. And it feels good knowing that the kingdom of God can't be shaken. It really does feel good. I'm not just saying that, because I mean it. And when you're going through something like this, it's great to know that you're not alone, because God is on your side. Like I said, pushing back all darkness. He is. And I'm really glad that I know Jesus. And I'm glad I gave my life to Him at a young age. And this is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. Excuse me. Anyhow. So glad that you chose tonight to join the Miracle Man Show, wherever you are, however you're listening. And it's a great thing to have you. And tonight, when we get into the Word in a little bit, I'm going to be talking about Pharaoh and the first several plagues. And, what were they? And why did God have to use plagues to show Pharaoh? Why? Why did He have to? I wasn't asking you. We're going to talk about that. Because, as we'll find out, Pharaoh kept saying, "Nope, I'll think about it." And then he would think about it at times, and then he kept saying, "Nope." He just kept saying, "Nope." That he wasn't going to let him go. But then, I want to say, I need you to continue to pray the prayer that I've been talking to you about all these last several few weeks. We are cursing this virus. This virus will die in the name of Jesus. Quick. It will die now. We need to pray. This demon of fear of which, don't call it a name you like. Some people may call it stupid. He called it Koran. I think, is that the one he originally called stupid and changed the name? Yeah, he was calling it stupid, but you can call it anything you want. Koran. Whatever you want to call it. Just don't call it the name of your kid or anything like that. Don't. Because we got to bind that thing. Not just the virus itself, but all that, this demon with all the spear and all this other stuff attached to it, it is broken. You know, a well-known pastor, because he chose to hold services in his church in another state with several hundred people in his church. I'm not gonna say here who it is. I'm just doing it like Brother Buckley would. I don't have the word. But anyhow, he said, and I would agree, there is no law of the land that's greater than the Constitution of the United States, which says that we have the right to peacefully assemble for Christianity. And it doesn't give a limit of the amount of people. Trying to see where that's in the Constitution, and I can't find it. You know why? Because it's not in there. It's not in there. And I never thought it would get to this place. And to where I would think they would go after praying in public before they would ever go to this. Wouldn't you think? You would think, wouldn't you? Because I would think that the church would always be a secure place to be able to come and pray and worship and praise the Lord. You were never allowed to worship anywhere else anymore. I would think the church would always be safe. Not right now. And we need to believe God that not only does this virus die, but all of these attacks, because it's an attack in a way, to be told that you can't have these services unless you only have a certain amount of people. And Easter Sunday coming in a week and a half doesn't make it any better. No, it doesn't make it any better. One of the most important services you have of the entire year is Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate my Jesus rising from the dead. And so we got to pray that the virus dies, that this attack, I would say, write your legislature, state and county. Let them know how you feel. Let them know what the Constitution says. Let them know that under Constitution, we do have the right. And I'm not a pastor, but I will say I believe that church is essential. If the store selling lottery tickets if that place gets to stay open, if the liquor store down the street can stay open, if the marijuana store gets to stay open, why not the House of God? I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying, but I'm telling it like it is.
Amen.
I'm telling it like it is. And I'm saying, if all these others get to stay open, what about the House of God? And in the House of God, that's where chains are broken. That's where healing comes. The House of God, the Word of God, is medicine. It's medicine. And whether you're sick in your body or not, you need that particular medicine known as the Word of God. Because our minds always need it. That's why we have to wash our minds with the water of the Word of God. That's why we have to. And so, there's that too. Also, pray for healthcare workers. All of those that are on what's called the front lines, the nurses, the emergency medical technicians, all the epidemiologists doing their studies, everyone that is just working on the front line, battling day after day, shift after shift, going in there so tired that they would just all be at peace. May a peace come to them, even if they can't find it. May a peace come to them. That they would not be infected by this virus, because this country too, and in Italy, they have had problems with first responders becoming infected. And so that's another reason why we need to curse this thing gone, so that way the first responders aren't getting infected. That's why we need to pray for the healthcare workers. And pray for the economy, that comes back strong. So, so basically, to round it off, we need to pray for. We need to curse the virus. We need to curse the demon that has come on with us, all this fear. We need to pray over our governors and senators and our president, that they all make good, solid decisions. And we need to pray that our legislatures would allow us to come back to the House of God in person. Because it's not the same online as it is in person. It never is. Ever. That's whether it's teaching, not only like working out preaching, but even shopping. It's never the same online as it is in person. Ever. So we need to pray. Also over the economy and for healthcare workers. So we're gonna pray right now. Lord God, we come before you tonight, pray in tongues with me for a minute. Build up your faith. You're built You're building up your spirit, man, when you pray in tongues. Godre mana shodre mana mana nema nema na shidre le na na mana 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 no no na mana na na le she kama godre mana 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 godre mana shidre mana le de de mana no na mana shidre mana mana le na na mana 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 na mana mana na na mana shidre mana 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 godre mana mana na masi Lede na manama na manama na manama na manama lede manasi. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I come before you tonight in prayer. Authority over this virus. This virus, COVID-19, you will die. You will die right there, right now. And you will meet the Maker. You will meet God. You will just fall right down. And I pray that if humans created this virus, may they repent to God for what they have done. May they repent. And I take a minute right now to pray, demon called Koran. When I'm out and about, sometimes I'll see so few cars, so many places shut down, that demon called Koran, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, right now, I thank you for our senators and our governors. I thank you that they would know what to do next, Lord God, as they deal with this. What to do? What about the ventilators? What about the healthcare workers? What about businesses and that? And you're just showing them what they need to do, what strategies work, what don't work. And I thank you, Lord God, also for that you would, that your people would write their governors and their county sheriffs and let them know that your house, Lord Jesus, is essential and that it is very, it's not just important, it's essential. It's where the real medicine, it's where the healing is. It's where the anointing of God is. And I thank you that they would realize this when making decisions. And also, and now, Lord, I thank you right now for those working on the front lines, the doctors, the nurses, the emergency medical technicians, the nurse's assistant, and all the others that are working in these hospitals right now. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are right there in their midst. Thank you that you would bring peace to them, even though they're working in extremely tough situations, extremely tired, many of them working extremely long shifts. And I just thank you. I just pray, Lord God, that you would just bring peace to them. So may those who don't know you, may they decide to give their life to you. And I pray that they would just all be at ease in your name, Jesus. And I pray right now for those who have lost family members through all this. I pray that you would put them at ease as well, Lord God. And I pray that these people who are dying, I pray that they are going to heaven. I pray that someone will reach out to them so they can make heaven. And I give you praise and honor and glory for everything you're doing. As we're going to win this battle, we're going to win this battle in the name in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. A couple quick things before we sing and get into the Word of God for tonight. Number one, this is something most important, but number one, I hope you got a chance to go to your local Taco Bell to pick up your Doritos Locos Taco. I did. It was delicious as it always is. Because when I've gotten them have been other times where they do the free Doritos Locos Tacos, like if it involves the World Series or basketball or something, they'll give them away. So, like I said, those other times are too. Yep, those other times are too. They were free today is what I was saying. They're free today. And so go get that. Sorry, folks, there's no Coca-Cola at Taco Bell. Maybe some days I repent and go to Coca-Cola and decide to not have Pepsi anymore. Now, I'm going to start the Easter programming on Monday. I'm going to start that on Monday. Tonight and tomorrow, I'm going to deal with those plagues and why did God do them and what all happened. And I think God's trying to shake the church. I didn't say God caused this whole thing, this whole virus thing. No, he didn't. It's like a shaking. By shake, when I said shake, I didn't say destroy. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to agree or disagree, but as for whether it is, you don't think, you're not so sure that this is how he would shake it, because God can shake things, you know. But anyhow, I just believe that when this is all done, we're going to not just appreciate it, but there's going to be the power level, I think, is going to go way up. The power and the anointing, I think it's going to go way up. And so I'm believing that. I think that's what's going to happen. And I thank God for that. And so why did these plagues happen? Why was Pharaoh's heart so hard? And we're going to look at that the next couple of nights. But first, before I do any of that, listeners, I want to encourage you to please tell others that you know how they can be a part of the show. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. Tell them how they can be a part. It's real easy. The number to call in if you want to listen in or talk to me, the Miracle Man, anytime the show is on, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt, that says the Conroe Live Show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through the call screener. I'll be notified that we have a caller. And then I'll say, Joey from wherever you may be from, what say you? And remember, it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always a smart thing. Smart choice to listen to it on your smartphone. Because you do everything else on it now. You know, pay your bills. You know, read, watch the news, you know, text, everything else. Why not use it to hear the word of God? So, got that for you too. All right. Got a special song for you tonight. From back in the day. Some of you may wonder, Miracle Man, why is it that a lot of the time you're singing these songs that are from back in the day, from such a long time ago? I believe that these hymns and these old songs have a place in the body of Christ. It's not like other old stuff that you just throw away in the garbage and it doesn't work anymore. Hey, stop it. Sorry, listeners, just my mom over there being like she is, silly sometimes. But anyhow, I believe the word of God never gets old. So how would these songs get old? Especially these ones that are really powerful. And so this one is called God is God. Well, he's God on the platform, God at the door, God in the amen corner, God all over the floor. I know God is God. God don't ever change. God is God. He always will be God. He's God of my body. No, he's God the Father, God the Son, God of the Holy Ghost. God is three in one. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. Always will be God. Well, he's God in my Bible, God in my soul, God of the Hebrew children, God who makes me whole. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He always will be God. Yeah, he's God. He's God in my body. God, no, he's God in heaven. God on the earth. God all over me. God everywhere. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He always will be God. Well, he's God in the lion's den, God in the fiery furnace, God way up in heaven, God is God everywhere. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He always will be God. Well, he's God in New York City, God in Tennessee, God right here in Michigan, God all over me. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He always will be God. He always will be God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He's all. He's God everywhere. You can thank R.W. Shambach for that one. Oh, my. And over the years, several years, I've been listening to some of his stuff. And I got to say, you know, back in the, some of his, you know, we actually had him at my church once, our church, Living Word, back in the late 1990s. I believe there was a time earlier, too, in that decade, but I wouldn't remember it. But anyhow, he was a powerful voice to the body of Christ. Roy Roberts, too, Lester Sumrall, And over the, you know, over the past many years, the body of Christ has always submitted to the next elders. But things are different now, even from like 25 years ago. Because even 25 years ago, to eat, you still had Lester Sumrall, R.W. Shambach. You still got Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Seville. You know, you still got Rod Parsley. But even a bunch of these other voices speaking of the body of Christ, that's a bonus that R.W. Shambach was able to be a good singer. And all that energy when he would say stuff, my. My. That was one of his catchphrases that he would use a lot. And when he would come up to the podium, every time I heard him, the different videos I've heard him on, he would always say, "Give Jesus a big hand, everybody." I love that when you hear someone say that, because that shows they have, like, they're the real deal. There's nothing dry about them at all. And I love that. I love it when people are just real. Now, the other song I'm going to sing, it's one of these hymns, too. It's one of these hymns, and these hymns are really important. They really are. And they're not like this stuff that you sing for 3 years, 4 years, throw it out, never sing it again. Nope. These are powerful. And we don't want to lose track of them. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. All the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. All the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. I am my Savior, oh glory divine, watching and waiting. Perfect of mine, waiting the Savior, washing his goodness, washed in his blood, washed in his blood, yes. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Yes, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Yes, praising my Savior. No, I am my Savior, and happy and blessed. watching and waiting. Praise my Savior for washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praise, this is my story. This is my song.
What?
A day long. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that for these listeners that have made the decision to tune in tonight, thank you that you blessed them tonight, whoever they are, whatever they're doing. Thank you, blessed them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that they would learn something tonight from you as we study your word tonight. And I give you all the praise, the honor and the glory for that in Jesus' name. And I thank, make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come in, that increases in listenership come, that people hear about this program. And most importantly, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the increase in souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great program, in Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Exodus 7, verse 1. Exodus 7. I want to encourage you to be a part. I study your study, and like I said, Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, NIV. What?
That was awesome.
The way I said it like that?
Yeah.
But that's where we're going to begin. Obviously, you can follow along whatever version you're going to read. That doesn't mean that I said, listeners, that you have to use your NIV if that's what you got. Is that reference that that's the version I'm reading? That's all that means. Amen. Hang on. Just as soon as I get there, we'll begin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything that I command you. Your brother Aaron to let the Israelites go out of the country. I will harden
Aaron's heart.
And though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and the mighty act of judgment that I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites up out of it. Moses and and did just as the Lord commanded them to do. Moses was 80 years old, Aaron was 83, when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff, throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord had commanded, his face down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned his wise men and sorcerers, but the Egyptian magicians also did the same things to their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became, turn the page, a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up all their staff. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Verse 14 now, first plague. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him. Take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go, so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now, you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. Today you will know that I am the Lord. For the staff that is in my hand, I will, with the stripe that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile. It will be changed to blood. The fish in the Nile will die. The river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds, and over all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them to do, and he raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt, but the Egyptians, magicians, did the same things to their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He wouldn't listen to Moses or Aaron. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said, turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Then, chapter 8 now. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. Frogs will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and into your kneading troughs. The frogs will go up on you and your people and all your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things with their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, so that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow morning, Pharaoh said, what kind of ding-a-ling is that? What kind of ding-a-ling says, get these frogs off of me tomorrow morning? What about, I want them off now. I want them off now. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that they may know that there is no one like the Lord, our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials, and your people. They will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs that he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyard, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. Oh, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, well, he hardened his heart again and would still not listen to Moses and to Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff, strike of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff, he struck the dust to the ground. Gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the Egyptians when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret art, they could. And the gnats were on men and animals. The magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Last one. The Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, This is what the Lord says. Let my people go, that they may worship me. If you do not let them go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people, into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of the officials and throughout Egypt. The land was ruined by the flies. And then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Go sacrifice to your God here in the land." But Moses, that would not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as he commands us. Pharaoh said, "I will let you go offer sacrifices to the Lord your God," turn the page, "in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me." Moses answered, "As soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord." Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. The Lord did just as Moses asked. A fly left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and didn't let the people go. Okay, all right. Now, what we read about was four different times, four different plagues. We're done by God. This is after the fact. Oh, there were more than four. I just read you the first four. But all of these plagues were done after God told Moses, "Have Aaron over the water, and it'll become a snake." And you know, these magicians tried the same thing. Their staff became snakes. But Moses, God had told Moses, you know, Pharaoh is going to harden his heart. Sure enough, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And God told Moses, so all those different times, go to Pharaoh. Sometimes he said, "Go get up early in the morning. Go to Pharaoh at about the time that he's going out to the water and tell him." And God said, "Let my people go that they may serve me." So the blood was gone. He said, "Nope." God in his heart, after the plague of frogs, he said, "You know, how about you have them leave in the morning? not right now. How about in the morning? And so he did that. And the flies left early in the morning. And when he saw the relief, he said no. His heart became hard. I will not let your people go. And then, oh, those pesky flies. Those pesky flies came into that house. Oh, those flies, those flies, those flies. Pesky, pesky, pesky. Don't you just hate it when you're somewhere and all these flies just keep come getting up on you? Well, there was no escaping the flies for Pharaoh or his officials or his people. Nope. All over. And he basically tells Moses, make a sacrifice to you, God. Like, now. And Moses is like, going away. Right. And then he explains that he has to go to the desert to do it. So he goes up to the desert. He tells God, he prays to God and asks God to remove the flies. But you want to know what? When the flies are gone, the Pharaoh's heart hardened. Just like with these other plagues. Right now, we're dealing with this plague, the corona virus, and there are different stories about where all it came from. But know this, it did not come from God. God did not cause this. He did not cause this. But we need to pray it gone. And I know the more people pray, the sooner it'll be gone. And my prayer is that the house of God, the people in it, the house of God will be the church of Jesus will never be the same. The anointing level will be greatly increased. And that's what I'm believing God for. And that we'll be ready to go forward in God. Told Moses what Pharaoh was going to do. God told Moses prematurely, as we read. Pharaoh's not going to let your people go. He's not going to let your people go. He's going to harden his heart. And so he said, I'm going to try having you turn him, turn that snake staff into a snake and see if God will see, and see if he'll see that miracle. See if that'll make a difference for him. It didn't. Still hardened his heart. Then he cried. The frogs, the blood, and the flies. Every time, Pharaoh said, nope. I ain't gonna let them go. I ain't letting these people go. They're just gonna sit right here. I'm gonna hold them hostage. They're not gonna go worship this God that Moses and Aaron served. It's kind of like what's going on right now. And they're saying, we got these officials saying, you can't go to the house of God and worship Jesus. You can only have this certain amount. The house of God is where healing is. It's where deliverance is. It's where hope is. It's where you go to hear your pastor preach on faith. Service after service after service after service. because faith comes by, that was weak. Faith comes by, that's more like it. That's funny. Oh, you did it like that on purpose, because you knew I was going to say that if you did that, didn't you? You knew I was, didn't you? Yep, because Pastor would. He would say that. And what's funny, listeners, you see, is right now he's doing these streams a couple times a week in the addition to the services. Times he'll say, that was a weak amen. Can I have a real amen? Like, somehow he can tell if we're doing a weak amen. Somehow he can tell, I guess. I wonder how. He can just discern it, I guess. And somehow he just knows. And he just knows, oh, that was weak. But it's just so funny. Anyhow, so like I was saying, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That means you can't get it by reading your Bible, as important as reading the Bible is. One of the most important things you can do for your spiritual life is reading the Bible. But faith comes by hearing the word of God preached. But that, and also, you should be putting it into practice. Because it's just like Matthew said, whoever hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is just like the man who put his house upon a rock. The winds blew, the floods came, the rains came, the floods came, the winds blew, beat up on that house. And otherwise, we'll say it's like maybe they're by the ocean or something. We'll say they're by the ocean. The hurricane and the wind came, beat up on the house, but the house didn't fall. Want to know why it didn't fall? Because his house was built on solid ground, firm, solid. A foolish man, though, he built his house upon the sand. The rain, the flood, the rains came, the floods came, the wind blew. They also had a hurricane, same strength. It fell with a great crash. The man who did not, who heard the word of God, but he decided, I'm not putting it into practice. I got to go to church? What? I'm supposed to forgive my brother? What? You mean to tell me I got to actually obey God? Really? No. I got to take care of my cat, my dog, my tractor, my kids, my roses, my car. I got a football game to watch. And I got this other stuff I got to do. By the way, I got to submit. I got to give my master, my boss, 60 hours this week. Oh, excuses. But anyhow, that being said, well, you see, the wise man, he built his house on the rock. The storm came, rain, the flood as a result of that, all that rain, the wind that came with that storm, the house didn't fall. The same storm. I think it's safe to assume that it was the exact same storm, right?
Yeah.
The exact same storm. With the exact same magnitude, exact same everything. Same amount of rain, same amount of wind speed, same amount of everything. Came rain, a flood, the wind. They beat up on the house. It fell with a big boom. A big one. And to assume that guy probably died. And great was the fall of it. That's why it's really important that you are rooted and grounded in the house of God, and that you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And you need to pray over your pastor right now, whoever your pastor is. You need to, because I know there's more pastors than just mine, that it bothers them that they don't get to have services with their church family. Mom, I think you know some other pastors too are on the same boat.
Yeah.
Same with me. I know of several different pastors, and I'm not exactly going to say who they are, but I know of several who it really bothers them that they can't meet with their church family. Oh, and by the way, listeners, you really should still pay your tithes. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. So if you're going to church, put it in the box. They have a little box you can put it in outside the admin building or something at your church. And now they do it mine, but I know every church is doing it differently, of course. But normally the Bible doesn't say send ye the tithe at www. Whatever. But even if in normal times, even if you're looking for a church, you know, that our vice president even said that we should tithe. And I'm so grateful that I'm so glad he said that, aren't you? Aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that really means a lot. Yeah. When you hear your vice president of these United States that calling on Americans to continue to pay their tithes and to pray, that goes to show a man of faith. And I tell you, I'm proud of him. Yeah, and his love for this country, how involved he is. I think he's more involved than the last two. And I'm just talking as far as vice. And that goes to show. And I'm not trying to be. By the way, listeners, I was not saying that to be political. I was accolading him for telling Americans that they still should pay their tithes. And I will say that too, listeners. You should pay your tithes. Because if you want the blessing of God on your life, you need to do what God says. And you need to do it the way he said to, not the way you want to. You can't do this walk with God of yours, the so-called walk with God that you got. You can't do it the way you want to. You must do it the way he says to. That's not an option. That is a mandate from God. It's a requirement. And you should pay. I mean, you should give your offering out of your own heart. As a man purposeth in his heart, shall he give. Give unto seven and also unto eight, for you do not know the evil that will come upon you. That's from Ecclesiastes. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Yeah, but I got laid off what about the tithes? Tithe anyway. Tithe off of what you got. You're down to your last dollar, because then you, that blessing of God, he looks, and when it comes to offerings, even, God doesn't look at the percentage. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the amount of dollars. It's about the heart. If you have $100,000 and you only give $1,000, versus someone else who gives, who has $5,000, but they give $800. In the eyes of God, guess who gave more? The man who gave the $800, the one who gave the $800. Because he looks at the heart. Because of $100,000, if I give $1,000, I've only given 1%. Where if I have $5,000 and I give $800, then I've sown 18%. And there is a difference. But at the same time, you have $5, you should give all $5, 100%. It's like that woman. She, out of her poverty, she was poor. She put in all that she had to live on. She put in all of it. All of it. And you need to still give your tithes and offerings, because the church needs to keep going. If we ever needed the church, it's now. We need it. And our pastors, your pastor, you got a good pastor. He'll love on you. He's praying for you right now. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you blessed. He doesn't want you to suffer. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you make it. He does. He or she, I should say. Whoever it is, but more commonly than not, it's a he. But whoever that pastor is. And if you got a Spirit-filled pastor. Oh, that Spirit-filled pastor, they genuinely care. My pastor, I don't think he just cares for us as a big church. I think he cares about us individually. He does. In fact, I know he does. If it wasn't for him, ultimately, if it wasn't for my God. But I also give gratitude to my pastor. I would not be alive if it wasn't for him and telling my mom what he told her. If my mom did not listen to Dr. Barclay, I would have died years ago. Because they were that ready to put me to sleep. But because my mom listened to a prophet, the prophet of the Most High God, she made that determination to listen to him. And then later on, she was sitting there on the couch crying. Pastor, I need someone to come help me. Well, Julie, I love you very much, but no one's coming. I'm not sending one out there. You need to learn to fight battles for yourself and for your family. Didn't I sound just like him when I did that too? and you've shown us time and time again that you're a scrapping woman. And I know you can do this. And I know he said that to other people too. God's going to bring us through. It seems like Well, it seems like you're not, no matter what. Yep. Yeah, but did you see the amount of cases they had yesterday? Yeah. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The God I serve is a healer. He delivers. And this too shall pass, will go away. This thing will bow. The Bible says every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he is the Lord forever and ever. And I love him so much. And God's going to get us through this. He is. And you know what? Ultimately, the best thing I think you can possibly do is to pray. Natural things can be good. You know, the best thing that's going to help is the prayer of the church. No, you're not. You're sending the offerings to God. No. The house of God, to that pastor of yours, to preach with it and to do what God tells them to do with it and to keep it going. Because it's predicted right now that this keeps going on, that 40% of churches in this country could close. And I come against that in the name of Jesus. So that's why we need the thing gone in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you, COVID. You are dead in your tracks in the name of Jesus. 19, you will die. You will submit to God and die right there, right now. Devil, you will get your hands off of the Church of America. You will get your hands off of this country. You don't have a right to keep your hands on this country. I curse you. You're broken. Simon is broken. There is one spirit that operates in this country. It is the spirit of the Most High God. There is one spirit that operates in your church, Holy Spirit. It is the spirit of the Most High God. That's how it goes. One spirit. It is the spirit of the living God. And Lord God, I thank you for this message tonight. I pray that they would learn something, from this. And I just thank you that they will take this lesson tonight and go on about. And I just thank you for your hand being upon them. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. And so, listeners, anyhow, so, like I was saying, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you next time.